All right, you're listening to the MockVirtual.com Gamecast. To explain what this program is, this particular show, which is, as you can guess, a podcast, at least of sorts, is an opportunity for me, Virgil, from MockVirtual.com, to pontificate about gaming in general. My goal with this particular show, at least to begin with, is to talk about more gaming tips and tricks as opposed to just general news, which is something you tend to see more on the blog side of the site. That particular part of the site doesn't seem to be as popular as of late, probably because those of you who give a care about gaming news have your own source for that information. So rather than continue to try and feed you my input on that by simply linking to other sites and sorts, I'm just going to skip straight to the kind of stuff that you probably can't necessarily get somewhere else. Now, what I'm going to begin with for this particular show is I'm going to start by talking about StarCraft. Now, the reason why I'm going to talk about StarCraft today is because, most importantly, StarCraft II was announced by Blizzard sometime significantly earlier this year. I believe it was in March or something. And as we have no doubt noticed, those of us who are waiting with eager anticipation, Blizzard has not had the decency of letting us actually have at StarCraft II at this point in time. Which, you know, is not to say that we're surprised, because it's Blizzard, and, you know, their stance on things is, when it's done, and then we'll send it to you, and, you know, that's all well and good. I prefer that, because then, you know, they produce a quality product. That's not to say that I'm not disappointed that I'm not able to put StarCraft II on a Christmas list this year, because I really would love to be playing that game right now. That said, I do know that it's been a long time for some of us since last time we played StarCraft. I know I haven't played in a long time myself. And I know that there's a lot of concern, at least from the people that I've spoken to, who are like, you know, hey, I want you to help me, Adam. I want you to help me try and get my game up to snuff for when StarCraft II comes out. And, and it's, of course, turned out that we just don't have the time to play enough games to kind of make that happen. So it's my hope to kind of talk about, in this particular show, StarCraft, just sort of some general tips and tricks, sort of like an abridged version of the Virgil's Guide to Playing StarCraft that I wrote a long, long time ago. I don't want to talk as much about race-specific tips and tactics this particular session, but if there's time, maybe I'll get to that. So, the first thing I want to cover is the fact that StarCraft is a real-time strategy game, or RTS. Now, the fact that these games are called strategy games is kind of an interesting, I almost want to say misuse of the term strategy. Strategy implies that you're sort of talking about, you know, when you describe something as being strategic, it's sort of the big picture of running an army. You're talking about, you know, recruitment and long-term deployment strategies, trying to take one country or another. Whereas most RTSs tend to focus on individual battles in a war, as opposed to the strategy to win a war. Having said that, RTS games usually try to mix in some of the greater level sort of things to talk about a strategic level. And whereas the actual act of trying to take and command your units in the battle itself is more tactical. The gaming industry has taken to phrase this, as opposed to using the traditional historical military terms of strategy versus tactics, is macro management versus micromanagement. In other words, developing an appropriate strategy for knowing how to collect resources, how to build your base, how to expand, how to defend your base, what units to build, and when to attack. Those sort of things are the macro game. Whereas using a select group of units in a specific way that allows them to use their special abilities to overcome units they normally couldn't is more of a tactical gameplay side of things. And that's commonly referred to as micromanagement. Now, some real-time strategy games emphasize macro a lot more than micro. For example, the Total Annihilation and later Supreme Commander games have little to no micromanagement to them at all, in large part because the AIs are so, the units are so great that, you know, you don't have to sit there and tell your artillery units to hold back at maximum range and fire at enemy units. They'll just do it. You know, you can just move them into position and they'll start shooting at stuff they can see for you. But that also means the units, by and large, don't have special abilities that you need to sit there and micromanage may take an advantage of. Whereas you have a game like Warcraft 3, on the other hand, where your armies are just, like, incredibly freaking small, and you have to make the most out of what few troops you have, and so you have to micromanage all of their special abilities on enough to get that right. Now, I personally prefer more macro than micro, but that's not to say that a little micromanagement can't be fun. And I find that games that typify a perfect balance of this are games like StarCraft and the Dawn of War games by Relic. So, in the case of StarCraft, the game is very much a game that can be won to an extent through micromanagement, but it really needs to be emphasized that StarCraft really, at the end of the day, is a game about proper balance between resources and aggressive gameplay style, especially when speaking in terms of multiplayer. The multiplayer part, the way that the game works is in the single-player campaigns, obviously, they're trying to teach you how to play the game, at least pre-Brood War, and so they will sit there and they'll give you a base that has, like, you know, a ton of minerals in it, or if it doesn't, there's another base really close by that has a ton of minerals in it, and so all you have to do is kind of sit there and build up one base and build up your defenses around the one base, and then just throw attack after attack at your enemy, because the AI, by and large, won't spend a huge amount of resources on rebuilding lost structures, you know, lost units, yes, but not so much lost structures. And so once you've done severe damage to enemy base, you know they're on their last legs. This is not the case in multiplayer, either against human opponents or computer opponents. If you leave them any quarter after an attack, you know, they will take that and try to run with it if possible. So in that regard, the way that StarCraft and many RTSs play out is the one who wins is often the one with the most economy, which is to say the one that has access to the most funds. Now that's not to say that money automatically means that you win. It's actually one of the problems that, I don't remember if this is still true or not, but at one point the Zerg AI for multiplayer had this prolific tendency of expanding just all over the map and would just eat up all the resources on the map in this giant denial cycle, but then would just throw these, like, 100% uncoordinated, piss-poor, disorganized, small attacks at you that if you had any kind of competent combined anti-ground, anti-air defense, there's just no way that it would actually make it through. And so if you just waited it out and let the AI burn itself dry and you didn't spend a lot of money yourself, you could wait until it goes poor, a counterattack with a fleet of battlecruisers, and there's really no stopping you because, well, the enemy has made it, just used up all the money on the map and doesn't have any left to counter you. That being said, at the same time, if you depend on that, if you rely on that, what you will often find is opponents that are more aggressive and are more functional with their money are going to be able to overwhelm your defenses very easily because they can afford to purchase the units to do so. Consider this example. Let's say that you sit here and you have a base, you have your Terran base, you're playing Terrans, you know, you have your choke point defended, you have two bunkers with three Marines and a fire bat in each, and two or three siege tanks and two or three missile turrets. You feel fairly certain that short of, you know, the apocalypse or a nuke or something like that, nothing's going to get into your base, and so you just sit there and turtle in and tech up. Meanwhile, your opponent is running around the map, grabs two or three expansions, and for every second that you're collecting resources, he or she is collecting two, maybe three times as much, as many resources as you, which, if they multiply this by having two or three times as many unit factories as you, by the time you have one battlecruiser, they could be buying three. And when you build your 12 battlecruiser fleet and you go out there and you try to do something with it, and they have a network of missile turrets prepared, cloaked wraiths all over the place, ghosts prepared to lock you down, and all that kind of stuff, you suddenly have a big problem up your hands. You're also going to find that if the player's good, that they're just not going to let you sit there to build up 12 battlecruisers. They're going to make you spend that money on defending your base and keeping yourself viable. And even if you're able to repel their attacks, if they keep you nailed into your base, unable to escape, you just can't do anything about it. So let me kind of just boil this down for you numbers-wise. Let's pretend for a minute that it takes, we're playing on a map, and it takes 10 seconds for your resourcer to go from your command center Nexus Hatchery to a mineral crystal. Now, a mineral crystal on a typical StarCraft map has 2,500 minerals per crystal. That means that if you have 8 crystals on the map, then you have, whip out my calculator here, 2,500 times 8 is... you have 20,000 minerals at your disposal at that particular expansion. Well, that sounds like a lot of money. 20,000 minerals, it sounds like quite a bit. And it is. And if it takes 10 seconds for you to make a trip, then that means one SCV will return 8 minerals to you once every 10 seconds. Meaning that you will see 48 minerals a minute. So if you have 8 SCVs collecting minerals at 1 SCV per mineral deposit, then you're collecting at a rate of 384 minerals per minute. So once every 60 seconds, you have almost enough minerals to buy a command center or a battlecruiser. You know, in Protoss terms, that's 2 photon cannons, 2 Protoss Dragoons, 3 Zealots, 3 Pylons, 3 Overlords, excuse me, 3 Mutalisks, you know, and that's a minute. Now, at a rate of 384 minerals a minute, it will take you... so it'll take 52 minutes for you to expire that selection of resources. So if you think about that, you know, give or take the amount of time it would take for you to set up the collectors necessary, then if you have an 8 mineral starting point and you set up 1 SCV per resource mineral crystal, then for 52 minutes you will have 382 minerals per minute. Now, let's say, for example, you double that. Let's say you put 2 SCVs per mineral crystal. So now what's happening is it's taking more closer to, like, you know, 5 seconds per 8 mineral hit. So what happens is we are getting closer to 16 minerals per 10 seconds. Multiply that by 8 and you're getting 128 minerals per 10 seconds, or 768 minerals per minute. So you've effectively doubled your mineral intake. Now you're going to burn out your minerals in 25 minutes. In addition, you have to consider the fact that in order for you to have double the collectors necessary to select out of an 8 mineral hit, you're going to require 16 supply. Which means that you will need, you know, an extra supply depot, pylon, overlord, for your trouble. And, you know, when this expansion runs dry, you have 18 or 16 collectors you'll have to figure out something to do with, which, you know, isn't necessarily going to be too bad. So let's compare now. Let's hypothetically think about this in terms of two players. Let's say we have player red versus player blue. Now, player red is playing Terrans, and player blue is playing Zerg. And we'll say that player red is doing one collector per mineral bit, and player blue is doing 2. And so, you know, 5 minutes into the game, let's see here. So at 384 minerals per minute times 5, you know, the marine player, or the Terrence player, has gained 1,920 minerals, whereas at 768 times 5, the Zerg player has gained 3,840 minerals. Now, given the cost of some of the starting unit and structures, I'd like to you to consider how much more you could build with 3,840 minerals than you could with about half as much. You know, with the cost of a Hydralisk being only 75 minerals and like 10 Vespian gas, you know, and the chances are that after 5 minutes of the game, your opponent really doesn't have siege tanks. Imagine how easily you could just force push your way into your opponent's base and just destroy him within like the opening minutes of the game. And that's how rushing often works. I mean, if the Zerg player didn't want to do that, he could just sit there and you know, take his drones and build a bunch of start getting some hatcheries done down. And even if the Terran player manages to find and kill a few of the, you know, one, maybe two of them before you manage to set defenses up, you still have laid claim to a lot more of the map than he does. And every time you take an expansion, let's say you once again put twice as, you know, two drones per mineral node at each of these expansions, and if they are 8-node expansions, which they probably aren't, but let's say for hypothetical sake, you know, your collection rate is going to go, it's going to double again. So instead of just being 784 minerals a minute, it's going to be, you know, 1,400 minerals a minute. So when you're talking about 1,400 minerals a minute, suddenly the idea of having to spend like, you know, 100 minerals, you know, the 1,200 minerals it takes to build 12 Mutalisks suddenly sounds like child's play. And you don't, and you know, with Zerg, you can have each hatchery, you can build 3 units at a time. So it's not, it suddenly sounds like, you know, you have a lot of opportunity to swarm up. And if you're Terran opponent who's still building, collecting at a rate of 1 SCV per mineral node, you know, is sitting there and he's hunkered down in his defenses and he really is just now beginning to expand, and you watch where he's expanding, you can have units anywhere on the map just harassing him and giving him a hard time. Now, here's the big kicker though, is, you know, if you do this, you are going to burn out on your mineral reserves a lot faster than the Terran player does. And if you can't kill him before you run out of money, then he's going to win in the end. And see, this is the trick, is StarCraft is different from a lot of RTSs, like Supreme Commander, Dawn of War, the Command & Conquer series, in that you can actually entirely run out of money. There can be, like, no money left on the map. You can run out of minerals entirely. Minerals are your bread and butter. Yes, Vespian gas is also there, and you don't technically run out of Vespian gas ever, but you can't, you know, there is nothing in the game that you can build with just Vespian gas. There's always a small mineral cost to consider. And with that in mind, you know, if you're not collecting minerals anymore, you're pretty much screwed. So, especially if you're Protoss and you're relying on units like Carriers or Reavers that have an ongoing mineral cost to their function. Reavers are incredibly expensive. I love them. They do tons of damage, but, you know, for having to pay for each shell they fire can add up very quickly. You know, and same goes for Terran nukes. You know, they're incredibly devastating and all that, but consider the fact that you're spending 200 minerals and 200 gas every time you fire one. Two of those, you could have a unit that could actually, you know, stay on the map, perform multiple functions, and attack more than once. You know, that has a much lower chance to just fail utterly because somebody just happens to detect your ghost. Again, I'm not trying to discourage you from using nukes. I think nukes have a very, very important place to be used. But just keep that in mind if you're a little bit heavy on the nukes, that sometimes investing in expanding infrastructure is not necessarily a bad idea if, you know, you're looking to do that. It's important then that we get to the other part of this, which is, you know, it's not enough to just sit there and take resources for yourself and then stockpile them like you're some sort of like pre-Depression era bank lord or whatever. It's actually better if you then take that money and use it. You know, if you want to do is you want to set up a resourcing ring that is very, very, very powerful and then never have more than, you know, 1,000, maybe 2,000 minerals in reserve at any time because you're using them, because you're building units, you're building infrastructure, you're scouting your enemy, you're researching upgrades, you're in your enemy's face and you're hunkering them down. And the interesting thing is that both the computer AI and humans react very negatively to pressure. If you put the pressure on your opponent fast and early, you make it feel like they're fighting a defensive game, you keep them pinned in, you can take territory from them and you can make them feel like they can't get out. They'll waste a lot of time and a lot of futile efforts to try and stop you. And, you know, you can really sort of hold them off on that regard. So you also need to know, you know, when it's okay to just sit there and deny your enemy and when it's time to just drop the hammer. And the difficult thing is skirmishing your enemy is usually not very difficult. Now, what I mean by skirmishing is, you know, taking advantage of detection units or scouts or whatnot to be able to figure out what your enemy's up to. So, you know, keep like a single Marine or a single Zergling or a single probe or observer watching every expansion on the map or watching common thoroughfares so you can kind of keep an eye on what your enemy where your enemy is going and where they're sending troops and what are they building for troops. And if your enemy is for example, playing Protoss and is weighing pretty heavily in the air department, you know that you can develop your race's counter for Protoss air in order to counter him, and then go off of that. For example, I had a particular free-for-all match I did one time where I started up in the north map alongside. I was playing Zerg and I was going up against another Zerg player, and we had a pretty furious match going on over various different pieces of territory. And the only reason I was able to claim expansions and he wasn't is because I was just a little bit faster than him on technology. And so I was gritting myself for a very, very hard-pressed war, and when he saw that I had Ultralisks, he went through all the trouble of building large amounts of ground defenses in his base to protect himself from the oncoming onslaught. Well, when he did so, he failed to build spore colonies. So when I happened to go through his base with Mutalisks, just to kind of like, you know, do a quick flyby and take a look at it, I was shocked to see the small number of air defenses. So rather than build more Ultralisks, I switched my war machine over to Mutalisks and Guardians. And when I came, you know, flying over his base with an air force, when he really wasn't prepared to fight against it, my opponent, he surrendered. He just couldn't handle it. I think later on in the same game, one of my other opponents who was playing Protoss had built up a carrier fleet. And he had, you know, quite a handy number of carriers who'd probably come in and taken out a couple of expansions if he wanted to. But he had invested all of his attack force into this group of carriers. And so what I did in order to try to dissuade him was I had several expansions on the map, which meant that I could afford to send small strike groups against the carriers that I knew would die, but I knew would cause some damage. So I had a number of hatcheries around the map that were just spitting out strike groups of Hydralisks and strike groups of Scourges that would crash into a carrier here and attack the carriers from this angle, attack the carriers from that angle. You know, and I brought the fight to them. I didn't wait for them to come to my bases. I took the Hydralisks and the Scourges to him. And then when the carriers were dead, my opponent had spent so much of his resources on the carriers that he was just trying to recover from that blow that he wasn't prepared for the same Guardians that I used to kill that player earlier to finish him off. To give another example, another important thing to keep an eye out for is if your opponent has left vulnerabilities in his defenses. One of the things that players who play against computer opponents will do a lot is they'll get in the assumption that all the computer's always going to attack from the same angle, so I don't need to build defenses against certain quarters. And this sort of thinking will leave gaping vulnerabilities in their base to be exploited. So you want to kind of take advantage of your information gathering capabilities, observers, overlords, you know, cheap scouts, what are they called? Scanner sweeps, command center scanner sweeps and such, to kind of take a peek and see if your opponent has left any openings in his defenses, and if so, exploit them. One of the best things to kind of do to sort of soften up an expansion is if you're playing either Protoss or Terran is to pick a really good high damage unit like Reavers or Archons or siege tanks and load them up in a few transports and then shuttle them right in between an opening in the enemy anti-air defenses and just shell the crap out of the enemy base, focusing on his resources first so as to disrupt his collection stream. Even if this doesn't destroy the expansion out and out, if it does significant damage to the core of the expansion, and maybe even the defenses, this will significantly hamper your opponent's ability to gather resources, which will give you a leg up on him for when the final battle finally occurs, when your big group of guys take out his big group of guys. Let's see. Additional general tips. One of the things that you know, it surprises me how many players don't know the two things I'm about to tell you, because they are just lifesavers in terms of making StarCraft easier to play. The first of them is to know the attack command. One of the things that RTSs before StarCraft got you in the habit of thinking you had to do was you had to select your units, you had to manually left or right click on whatever it is you wanted to kill in, you know, whatever order you need. You had to sit there and you had to watch and force command your troops. And if you didn't do this, then they might not fight things. The way that you can get around this is with the attack command, which can be done as simple as selecting the units that you want to use, tapping the A button on your keyboard, and then left-clicking on a location on the map. The result of this action will cause your units selected to move to that location and attack any enemy units or structures that they are capable of attacking that they come across along the way. And this mechanic is just a lifesaver when you want to send out a group of units into an enemy base but don't particularly care about how they assault the enemy base's structures or defenses. You know, if this is, like, really, it's a needed skill when talking about playing Zerg, because many times your attack groups will consist of, like, a mixed force of a bunch of ground assault units, and you really don't want to... there's no point to micromanaging how they attack stuff, because they're just going to swarm in and do it. You know, and in that case, you just want to give them all the attack command, left-click somewhere in the enemy base, and then watch the carnage when they get there. The other technique that you should know about is the shift key, which allows you to chain a bunch of commands together at once. There's a limit, but if you select a unit and you shift, right-click, and then hold down shift, and then right-click in a bunch of locations, the unit will go to all of those locations and do those actions in an order. So, for example, let's say that you have a Terran SCV, you know, and SCVs are infamous for having the problem of, you know, when they're done doing stuff, you have to select them and send them back to collect resources again, and they're not always easy to select. One of the easy things you can do is select an SCV who is currently building, click on the, you know, the build button and then the structure you want to build and then place it. And then while the SCV is going there, hold down shift and right click on the mineral node or the gas node that he was working from. The result is that the SCV will run over to the site, build the building, and then as soon as it's done, will run back and resume the harvesting operations that you pulled him away from. This technique also works beautifully well with Protoss probes and would work with Zerg drones if they weren't, you know, lost in the process of mutation. This technique can be chained together quite well with the attack command that I just spoke about. If you want to give a unit sort of like a waypoint system to get to an enemy base, so if you give them like the attack command to a point on the map and then an attack command into this side route and then an attack command into the enemy base, you can take faith in knowing that they're going to walk to all of these three positions attacking anything that they come across along the way and then come back. It's also handy if you maybe want to tell units to start out fighting a particular target, like perhaps enemy medics in a Brutal War Terran infantry attack group, and then resume general attacking once the medics are done. You can select your units, hold down shift, and then while continuing to hold down shift, right-click on all of the medics, and then while continuing to hold down shift, hit A, and then left-click near the enemy group, and they will go in, attack the medics first, and then go after the enemy unit group. Okay, so I think that's good for now. Unedited, this is running over 30 minutes of playtime, and so I want to go ahead and scale this back for first episode, give it a listen, and see how things go. I hope you found these tips and tricks informative. I hope to, if we do another episode, to resume with a discussion on faction-specific units, and give tips and tricks on how to handle and counter some of their more difficult facets. Thanks for listening.